Connecting.
Sort of. Hi, hello. My name is Anne Marie McKelvey. Hello. And today is May 2nd, and have my long glasses on. Excuse me just a moment. I got to get my computer glasses on. Today's May 2nd, and this is the mindfulness coaching call, which means it's the first Monday of the month because we usually, except for last month when I turned 70, we skipped my birthday. We did it the next month, the next Monday. But typically it's the first Monday of every month. And so today we're going to be looking at a couple things. As Matt knows, I'm in the throes of fires. I'm surrounded, it's a ring of fire. It's like Johnny Cash singing. And I'm looking for a place to live for the next couple months because it doesn't look like it's going to let up. So if you all know of a nice place, kind of in the woods, near water, water would be great, where I can write, that would be terrific. And so we're going to be talking about climate change, basically. And this isn't about if you believe in it or not. It has to do with the fact that what is on the planet is happening. Whoops, Judah's here. Let me get this man in here. How do you coach a client around climate change? How do you coach yourself around climate change? How do you coach yourself when there's fires all around, when your voice doesn't sound like it usually does because of smoke, when your t chest is tight because of smoke, when you can't see the Jemez Mountains from your back portal because of smoke, and usually Sangre de Cristo, ski basin, Jemez, everything can be seen, and you can't. And your body goes into fear, survival. Fires, you see fires, not just smoke, but fires. So how do you coach a client when that's happening? How do you coach a client when there's tornadoes, when there's hurricanes, when there's catastrophic kinds of things happening in their immediate future? Denise, who's here right now, in sort of orange and pinks and reds, it's like we worked with the hurricane a few, how long was that? I can't even remember. Is that 5 years ago? I don't know. Whoops, you're muted, sweetie. You're muted. We can't hear you. You're muted. You're muted.
Yeah, sorry. Hi, Anne Marie. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I think it was Sandy.
But what,
Yeah.
how many years ago was that?
Jesus, it's more than 5 years ago, Anne Marie. I think
Oh.
it's more like 7 years, seven,
Okay.
8 years. Yeah.
That was devastating and it was
Yeah.
scary and
Yeah, very disruptive too. Yeah.
So how do you work with your clients in those kinds of situations? Because they're happening more and more. And it's like for us over here in Santa Fe, I was sharing this earlier in Body Electric with Matt and his colleagues, we don't even think of COVID anymore. We're like
Yeah,
we're so
of
done with
course.
COVID and the pandemic. This is all about fire. And smoke. And it's like the apocalypse, winds and dust storms that you can't see across the road. So what do you do with a client? How do you work with that? So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. I want to do some, I think everybody's here. Okay. I want to do some quick announcements and my apologies in not getting a flyer out earlier. It's just been pretty chaotic here, in terms of the mindfulness coaching call and in terms of what our topic was going to be. But it is going to be about, coaching to climate change. I could probably think of a pithier, more sexier kind of title, but not today. I do want to remind everybody that if you're looking for a good class at the school to accommodate your credentialing, Deeper Than Words begins on Thursday, and it's with Surgeon, who lives in Montenegro. It's at noon, mountain time. It's 8 o'clock his time over in Montenegro. And so then do the math for whatever time you're on, Like right now, it's 5:08 in Santa Fe, Mountain Time. But anyway, it's this upcoming Thursday that it begins, and it's a terrific class. We've had lots of really good. Has anybody in here taken that class yet? Okay, all right. It's great. It's based on nonviolent communication, which is based on what your needs are and getting your needs met, what your loved ones' needs are, helping them get those met if you want to. If you don't, that's okay because you may have other needs, you know. And but it's a really good class because there's lots of different ways you can pull around with it or fool around with it, I guess would be a better word. I often will use it with, well, my whole website on Mindfulness Coaching School is based on needs. It's like I thought, okay, what are our students' needs? How are we meeting them as a school and getting those down? And so then that tends to attract the people that we want here at the school. Because as you know, for those of you who are students here, we have a pretty stellar group of folks. And I think a lot of it has to do with being able to language what how we want the classes to sound like when people are reading it to see if they connect with that. And if they don't, then they don't, and that's okay. But that's, nonviolent communication helps us do those kinds of things. It's also great for negotiation. It's terrific for business and leaders. So anyway, that starts this week. Excuse me. Let's see, what else do I want to say? Matt, what else did I share with announcements in class? I'm kind of drawing a blank. I have a very smoky brain these days.
I know you mentioned something about group coaching as well.
Right, group coaching is also beginning. Yeah, Matt Rizak, it was so cool. He called during class spontaneously, and I forgot to take just put the ringer off. And Matt teaches Art of Engaged Mindfulness as well as group coaching. And so I just asked him what we were talking about. And Matt called in the middle of all that about boundaries, like how do we keep our boundaries as coaches when we might be like way too open? Our clients going through a lot, we're there and we're starting to really buy into what they're talking about. And in psychotherapy terms, it would be countertransference. And I like to call it twinship. But how do we work with that? And then all of a sudden, bing, 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 there's Matt, and I see his caller ID, and I go, okay, wait a minute. And I went, Matt, and then I rephrased the question, and then he just went into it, and it was really fun. And he talked a little bit about group coaching, which is one of our newer classes, as well as Deeper Than Words. So I encourage you all to take a look at it and see if you'd like to join us. What else? I think that's about it. So there's a fellow named Shantideva, and he, I don't know what century, I'm not good at centuries, just never have been. He was this wonderful man, and he wrote some beautiful books, and some of what he wrote is like lyrical. It's just beautiful. And I want to read this to you. This is a very short quote. Quote, but it's something that has to do with what our topic is tonight. And now, as long as space endures, and as long as there are things to be found, may I continue likewise to remain, to drive away the sorrows of the world. And now, as long as space endures, and as long as there are things to be found, may I continue likewise to remain, to drive away the sorrows of the world. Now, in many ways, that's a vow, and it sounds like the Bodhisattva vow, except translated a little bit differently. And but it's one of my, well, it's the Dalai Lama. It's one of the Dalai Lama's favorite quotes, and he's a firm devotee of Shantideva. And Shantideva wrote a book. The book that I'm most familiar with is called The Way of the Bodhisattva, which is a beautiful book, and it's just like four lines. and then a space, and then four lines in a space. So it's very lyrical in that sense, how I shared earlier. And I want to encourage everybody to use chat later if you need to, because I want people to really be able to focus right now in this moment. But Judith, thank you for sending that over. But we can talk about more things like during our time together, but please like just kind of stay focused with what we're doing, because otherwise we can all start paying attention to chat and we miss each other. And Angie's coming in. Okay. So I'm just curious, how many of you are coaches? Denise, you're supposed to raise your hand. And Robin, I would suggest that you would raise your hand. Judas, okay. And okay, great. So I am too. Who has experienced anything about climate change, be it, and we don't have to call it climate change. We can just call it natural disasters. We call it natural disasters. It's a little less political. So Denise, you have, who else has coached people during that? Corey? Okay. So just briefly, how did you need to be as a coach when you were working with people who were experiencing natural disasters? And again, I just want to say briefly, Denise?
Yeah, I made a mistake. I did not coach, clients that were going through natural disasters, but I went through 9/11. You know, I was in downtown New York, so I was coaching then, you know, but I was the one going through the disaster. So,
And you went through the hurricane. Yeah.
And the hurricane. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But 9/11 was the really most upsetting. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. And Corey, you said that you did coach?
Again, I thought you meant if we ourselves went through a natural disaster. So I wasn't coaching anybody during then, but we had a really severe tornado where I'm living several years ago. And it was pretty scary because some of the people I work with, it really hit their homes or near their homes. It didn't hit my house, but it was near my house. And people were like, do we run home from work? Do we not run home from work? Kind of thing. Traffic got stopped because we didn't know where it was going to be hitting.
Right, right. So as coaches, we have clients come in to us to work on these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. There's some similarities between, it's like, you know, a hurricane is different than a tornado. Tornado is different than fires. Fires are different than floods. You know, we could keep going on and on and on, but there is some commonalities in terms of human behavior. And the first is, of course, fear. And it comes out in lots of different ways. So as coaches, we work with fear. Now, a lot of coaching schools say you can't coach to emotions. And I don't even think about that very often. If the client's agenda is that they're feeling fearful because of whatever, we coach to that. You know, and we coach to it by just simply saying, where would you like to be at the end of our time together? Because they may only be able to say, I don't want to feel this fear. I'm like, just really, I'm so scared. It's like, I might not look like that on the outside, but on the inside, this is how I feel. You know, and so how do we work with that as coaches? And the best way to do that, because we can't really coach to fear, but what we can do is we can say, where do you want to be at the end of our time together? So rather than just kind of coming up with a standard, we can't coach to emotions. It's like, understand where the fear is. And that's why somatic coaching is so important. Because if the client says, okay, so I guess I probably can't eliminate all the fear in the next 28 minutes, but I guess where I want to be at the end of our time together is, I want to have a reframe. I want to have an infinite mindset. You know, at this point in my time on the planet. I don't do fixed mind. Well, I do fixed mindset periodically, but I don't do growth mindset. Growth mindset isn't enough. I do infinite mindset. I need a really big one. And to really, you know, make things work for what's happening on the planet and things that are going on and in my life, not just on the planet, but on my life too. So by saying, you know, where do you want to be at the end of our time together, helps the client get narrowed in a very Zen-like way, what it is that they want to work on, what their real agenda is. So the fear is a great stepping off point. So let's say I'm afraid. I just don't want to feel this fear anymore. And you say, so where would you like to be at the end of the time together? And they say, I want to make a decision if I should leave where I've lived for 40, almost 45 years to another place. Okay. Because that's an agenda that you can work with. And then what you get to do is go back and remember that they had said fear. And then you can say, so tell me, where does that fear live in your body? Where does it live in your body? You know, is it rumbling around? Is it like a searing kind of feeling? Is it hot? Is it, you know, is it in your belly? Is it in your jaws? Is it in your little finger? You know, where does that fear live? And it could be that they say, it lives throughout my body. I cannot sleep. I can't relax. I feel really tight. Or they can say, I feel really loose. Like, you know, I'm feeling discombobulated, because fear has all sorts of different ways that it expresses itself depending upon the person. So we take all that as clues and as information, and then we work with that. So fear is one of those elements that happens with natural disasters. The other place, the other piece is that's been my personal experience recently, but also with other people, is with clients and students, is that there's a back and forthness. There's a black and white thinking. I have to leave. I'm not going to leave. I'm leaving. I'm not going to leave. Oh, there's no smoke. I'm not leaving. Oh, it might rain. I smell moisture. No, I guess it's not moisture. Oh, darn it. It's just the watering can. Oh, it's like we're so hyper vigilant when we're fearful, and we start making decisions based on what's arising for us. And sometimes what's arising for us is so impermanent, which is one of the things, you know, we learn as mindfulness coaches, the impermanence of everything. It's like, you know, we have fear now, but then like 3 seconds later, we may be totally into gratitude. Mm. And then 2 minutes later, we might be into, wow, it just feels like everything's being purified through this fire. You know, that everything that's not needed is being dissolved. And then that takes on a whole other hit. So there's lots of different pieces here. But the main thing is, you've got fear, and then go into the body and notice how the client goes back and forth, because they're not stable. And I don't mean that in a psychological term. I don't mean that in terms of a mental disorder or something. But the stability, you know, as we talk about in Buddhist teachings, the stability of the mind is not there because fear has got its grip on it. And that's why meditation is so important, and mindfulness practices and somatic practices. You know, I say this quite a bit, and I actually said it earlier today in another setting, but meditation is not a noun, it's a verb. Mindfulness is not a noun, it's a verb in my life. It's active. You have to be doing it, and it's so easy to not. It's easy to fall asleep. It's easy to say, oh, I think I'll, oh gosh, you know, what's the latest on Netflix that just came? Ozarks. Ozarks just came out. I'm going to watch the last 6 episodes tonight. I'm going to stay up. And that puts us to sleep. It takes us out of our fear, but it puts us to sleep. And so, you know, one of the ways I think about enlightenment isn't that we don't have the thoughts. I mean, the thoughts are just, it's just always going to be going, you know, monkey mind. But it's the awareness. It's to be able to be very aware. and to understand that we always have a choice in how we're thinking about things, how we're perceiving all those kinds of things, and how we're like, here's the sensation, but how do we perceive that sensation? Do we perceive it fearfully, or do we perceive it, oh, wow, that was pretty cool. You know, we're excited about it. How do we perceive these kinds of things that are happening within us? So with mindfulness and meditation, we're being given a more spacious way to live. And, you know, again, with more spaciousness, we were also given more life, which means sometimes the suffering is a little intense because we're choosing not to fall asleep. We're choosing not to drink or drug or over purchase or overeat or over anything. So these kinds of things are important in terms of natural disasters. Another commonality that I've experienced is that there's not a lot of trust. That the trusting aspect of living, which is basically connection, isn't there. And, you know, all of us around the world experienced COVID and wondering, you know, do I mask? Do I not? Do I go? Do I stay? Should I? Shouldn't I? You know, all those kinds of questions, because we weren't trusting what was happening. We didn't know. We didn't have the information. And there wasn't any permanence to what was going on. So we had no idea. And sometimes when something's invisible, it's difficult. But sometimes when something's visible, it can also be difficult. You know, it's like the other night, I was purposely looking at the fire and the hay mess. And it just, I don't know, for those of you who've been to Santa Fe, you know that outside of Santa Fe is Los Alamos. And then outside of Los Alamos is a wonderful place called Bandelier, which back in the day, the Anasazis lived, and Anasazis stands for ancient ones. And they're part of the 8 Northern Pueblos and Chaco Canyon, Chacoans and things. Anyway, very close to that site, it's on fire. It just started on fire. So now we have 2 fires in the hay mess. And I was purposely watching from the back land these flames just, and these plumes. And I purposely watched and saw the beauty. And I purposely down-regulated my body, because my body wants to go, fire, fear. You know, it's like, get out of here, darling. This is not safe. And yet I know that I'm safe because I'm many, 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 many miles away from there. But it's just that the views we have from our land, we can, you know, it's panoramic. That's why we're here. It's gorgeous. And I can see over, you know, where in Mora and in Las Vegas, New Mexico. So to see the flames and purposely use them as a mindfulness practice is, why not? You know, otherwise I'm using it as a mindfulness practice of fear. And so climate change is happening. You know, I've been calling people, just saying, so do you know of any cabins in your area? I need to take off for a while. And it's been interesting because the conversations have been about how much their experience of where they've been living has changed. And Meg Hess, who's one of our teachers here at the school, who teaches right speech and skillful means, said actually last week, and then she reiterated it this morning, that where she lives in northern New Hampshire, it's getting, the warmth is actually good. It's more fun to be in northern New Hampshire. The growing season is longer and the winters aren't as severe. And yeah, she went into those kinds of things. So there's some good news here too. And how do we adapt? How do we help our clients adapt? And that's the other thing. Okay, so write that down. Adapt, adaptation, integration. How do we pivot on a dime? Because sometimes we need to do that when natural disasters are going to be happening. Sometimes we have a few days before it's going to hit us. We find out sometimes we don't have anything but maybe a half hour. And so how do we learn how to be stable in our minds and move forward. And that's about mind training. It's about taming the mind. And we do that on a daily basis. And sometimes, you know, maybe we don't, quote, need to, but if we don't, it starts to accumulate. And it's almost like an insurance that if we meditate each day and we do mindfulness practices each day, our lives are just better. They just are. And we're able to take on what is being given to us and work from there, as opposed to going, oh my God, wait a minute. You know, instead it's like, you know, it's like we bow to the fire. We bow to the hurricane. You know, we become friendly with it, as opposed to, you know, And when we become friendly to something, what happens? You know, think of something that you haven't been friendly with lately. And if you met it as a friend, it can be anything. What happens in your body? Come on, gang. No one has met some sort of an arch enemy within you.
I'll answer.
Corey and Judah.
I get very, I feel as though my chest has dropped out of my body. Mm-hmm. And just very tense. The rest of my body is very tense, but sort of like my core feels almost like non-existent.
And so then what would happen if you made friends with that? What happens with your body then?
Well, since I haven't experienced that, I am guessing.
Pretend. Do it right now. In fact, everybody, why don't you just take something that has not worked for you, that you're afraid of, that you're telling yourself you're not good enough for, whatever it is. Just take something. It could be a physical, it could be an emotional, it could be a mental, it could be a spiritual. Just consider what that is for you, because each of you have something, unless you're doing some qualudes. I guess that's kind of old fashioned, but unless you're doing something that you know is elongating your experience so that everything is fine. You know, that person kind of looked at me funny. All those kinds of things could be happening. But pretend. First, identify it. First, identify what it is. Has everybody identified something? Okay. And now pretend like you make friends with it. You purposely ask it, what are the gifts you're giving me? What are the gifts you're giving me? And become friends with it. And what's happening to your body now? Notice what happens. Christina, would you like to share what's going on with you? Because I love your background. That's where I want my cabin. Are those cherry trees?
They are. That's not where I live. It's just a friend of mine sent me a picture. So I don't have spring yet where I live. So I was like, I need this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say the body gets more relaxed and more calm as you make friends with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. I had that experience today, actually. Mm-hmm. I've had a conflict with one of my sisters who lives in France, and she was unhappy with me. I wasn't happy with her. And today we spoke and something happened. I just felt I wanted to, I was aware of my suffering and of her suffering, you know, and the interaction changed. You know, I was very vulnerable on the call, and then she was, she had been very, very cold toward me, and her voice changed. It changed.
And so, so it might be a little bit of a stretch to use this word friendly, but it felt friendlier.
Yes, friendlier. Yeah, it wasn't warm, you know, all warm and fuzzy. No, but I didn't expect right. that either. But I was very grateful at the end of the call.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Thank you, Denise. And Christina, I want to go back to you for just a moment. It's kind of based on what Denise also said. And that is, so you started saying that your body felt warm. Is that how you said it?
I said more relaxed and calm.
More relaxed and calm. Okay. And mm-hmm. where did you feel that more relaxed and calm?
Probably predominantly through the chest area. The tightening of the chest releases and relaxes as you get more friendly, more maybe compassionate with the situation that you're mm-hmm. you're looking at.
Isn't that kind of cool the way that happens? Yeah, yeah. So we can do that anytime we want to, and or anytime we remember and we want to. You know, sometimes we're into these habitual patterns where it's like, you know, we just don't do it. You know, I'm just gonna be pissed at my sister, or I'm just gonna be, you know, whatever. And it's like we take our stand, but it doesn't really help us. You know. It doesn't really help us. You know, in 12-step programs, we would say it's a costly rent that takes up in our heads. Yeah. So anybody else? Robin, what's happening with you? I haven't heard from you.
Hello. Yeah, my conflict was with my old self. I quit a career in accounting, and I'm still trying to find... trying to open up to my new employment, my new goals, my new ambitions. And so I have to admit, getting out of the bed to go sit on the cushion has been very hard. I used to do it to calm down before I started work, and I don't need to do that anymore. But the old me, and when I closed my eyes, I kind of got into an argument with the old me. And then I'm like, wait, friendly. Put my arm around the old me, and then I took a deep breath. So yeah, I'm going to sit on with that meditation tonight before I go to bed.
Good.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Therese, what about you? What about you? Is that incense in the background?
Mm-hmm.
I see some. Yeah, nice. Thank you. I can almost smell it.
So for me, when I thought of my crisis or something that I'm struggling with, for me, when I made friends with it, there was a softening, and almost like an opening where I had been closed. So that was interesting when you brought up those questions. What if I make friends with it, and what gifts does this offer me? So yeah, those were wonderful questions to contemplate.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else who wants to chime in before we move forward? Yes, Judah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel going out to what it is I've made friends with, and a real sense of curiosity and a discovery happens. This is in particular some sounds, some disturbing sounds, neighbors. And it can really be a you know, just a survival response to a loud sound. And then when I just attend to it and become very curious about it, I open and I kind of want to like, oh, what is this?
Good. Yeah. So exploring it, because that helps open it up, as opposed to keep it into a fixed mindset. This isn't fair. they shouldn't be making that noise. Don't they know? You know, all those thoughts that we can come up with. But when we start to make friends with it, there's a softening. There's maybe an understanding. I've made noise before. You know, I've purposely made noise before. Jack up the stereo system, you know, or in my case now, it would be, you know, Siri. It's like, you know, because we've got all these pods all over. And it's like, you know, I want to listen to Janis Joplin really loud. And I don't care who hears me. You know, that kind of, so what, you know, how do we work with that part when another part wants it to, wants my neighbors to be quiet? You know, how do we work with sound? So yeah, those kinds of things. So when we become friendly with it, things shift. Yeah. Yeah. So it's 21 minutes before the top of the hour. And I'm just curious where you all would like to go. We could keep kind of doing this kind of thing. I can, you know, we can keep talking about this. We can also, I could coach somebody. And Therese, I'd kind of like to coach you because I don't know you, you know. So there was a part of me that would like to know you. Plus, I like the fact that there's smoke in the background, but it's appropriate smoke. It's very friendly smoke. So anyway, we could do a little bit of coaching, or we could, I don't know, I can always figure something out.
I'm open to being coached.
Are you? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. How's that? Does everybody feel good about that? Okay. All right. So for those of you who are not Therese or Anne-Marie, please stop your video down at the bottom to the left. Okay, and I'm going to put you and me next to each other. Whoops. There we go. Hi. Do you mind if I take notes?
Please.
Okay, thanks. And we're going to probably do 12 minutes, más o menos, if that's okay with you. Okay.
Está bien.
I love 12 minutes because, you know, as many of us know who are coaches, like I do half hour sessions and we could be like at 25 minutes after the hour and we have 5 more minutes left. The agenda's already been made. What do you do? Well, you just keep, you know, what would you like to be coached on now? Just kind of keep going. So we'll go until 5:52 my time. So, Therese, my name is Anne-Marie McKelvey, which is true. So would you like to be, what do I want to say? Let me just kind of get centered here. And let's just both get centered together. And if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. And just take some nice deep belly breaths in and out, about 3 cycles. And there's a bit of a intro that our students do, but I'm going to jump over that for today. So I'd like to know, what would you like to be coached on today?
Yeah, so I'm struggling with some, I would say, uncertainty regarding what I'm going to do moving forward professionally. I'm 47, and I feel like I'm in this mid-career crisis where I've been in my profession for quite a while, and some would say looking outside in, I'm established, I'm successful, and so on and so forth. But internally, I don't feel that. And I'm trying to kind of figure out what are my next steps and what am I going to do moving forward professionally.
So where would you like to be at the end of our time together?
maybe I'd like to be okay with the uncertainty of where I am right now. More okay with it.
Being okay with the uncertainty. Boy, that's beautiful. And that's a beautiful mantra right there. Being okay with the uncertainty. So what is that? What exactly would that mean to you? How would you know when you're okay with the uncertainty?
Being able to look on LinkedIn and not feel envious of others who are posting their new positions and feeling like I'm behind the ball on where I'm supposed to be professionally and what I'm supposed to be doing. I think that would be one.
Okay. So that would be, yeah. So it would be, so your litmus test would be to look at LinkedIn and just see it and just kind of, maybe even kind of go, wow, interesting. As opposed to what?
As opposed to, wow, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm behind. I really am behind the ball. And I don't know if I will be able to get where I want to go.
Okay, so we've got a good metaphor to work with. Behind the ball and get where you want to go. So I'm just curious, what does that ball look like?
Then what does the ball look like? Like I'm not good enough. I don't have what it takes. Maybe like the classic imposter syndrome.
But wait, hold on. Visually, what does the ball look like?
Visually, what does it look like? Something that I really can't grab. It's like too big for me to grab, too big for me to embrace or get a hold of.
Okay. Do you know what color it is?
I haven't really thought about color, but in this moment, yeah. I would say it's probably like ashy.
Ashy. Wow. Okay. Ashy. So, if that ball, I want to play around a little bit. Is that okay with you?
Mm-hmm.
With the ball. Okay. If that ashy ball, ashy colored ball, was going to lead you to those steps. Because originally what you had said was, you know, you want to know what your next steps are moving forward, as well as being okay with the uncertainty. So I'm curious about that ball that you're behind. Is it moving at all? Or is it just right there?
If I had to answer that question now, it's just right there.
It's right there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so my other question for you is, where does that ball live in your body? And you may never have thought of that before, but just pretend like you know.
I mean, right now it's like in my throat.
In your throat. Okay. Okay. So how about if you just kind of put your hand up to your throat? I love the fact that we both have turtlenecks on. So put your head. Yeah, because those turtlenecks protect our throats, you know? And close your eyes for just a moment and just breathe in and pretend like the breath can go right through the top of your hand into your throat. It's like the hand is almost like a filter, so that by the time that air gets to your throat, it's totally purified. And what's happening to the ball as you breathe in and out?
There's a softening.
Okay. Keep breathing. And just keep noticing. We've got a siren in the background. So if that ball and that siren were chums, what would be happening?
If they were what?
They were chums, if they were friends. Actually, the ball, the siren, and the throat.
And it's kind of like it's all dissolving.
And what is dissolving?
Like they were all separate, and now they're all like kind of one.
Okay. And what are you noticing now?
Some neutrality.
Beautiful. Okay. Keep breathing in and out. Now, what are you aware of?
My groundedness.
And where does your groundedness live?
Right now it's like in my torso and then my bottom body making contact with the floor.
Okay. And there's that siren again. Closer. So what would that siren symbolize for you?
Like you were talking about before, impermanence.
And when you heard that siren, what happened inside your body?
It was more of a curiosity.
Okay.
Like what's happening? What's going on?
Sure. Right. Okay. So right now, where are you in terms of being okay with the uncertainty? Like that exhale.
I've moved a couple degrees in the direction I would like to move in, so it's still there. And I'm just kind of realizing, like the siren, it's impermanent, and you know, it'll take its course. I'll take my course, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how about, I'm just looking at the time because we need to kind of come to a close, but I'm just curious in terms of what you might want to take with you for this month until the next call.
I journaled on this yesterday, and it would be just regardless of the uncertainty, moving in the direction, not so much on focusing on what I'm going to be doing, but how I'm going to be showing up and how I'm going to feel doing it, and just moving towards things that are really authentic for me, that I'm genuinely curious about and want to learn about. And that's why I'm on this call. So it's just really opening myself up to kind of like my bliss.
Beautiful. So how about just really, so this is what I would like to recommend, if that's okay. Yeah. Because I love how you've done your homework. You know, you journaled about it. You've worked with it. You've really thought this through. And some of your thoughts are not so helpful, like, you know, I'm not good enough, this could be imposter syndrome, you know, those kinds of things. But you've also got some other thoughts that are happening. And so I'm thinking to create some mantras or affirmations, like, I am okay with the uncertainty. Or maybe I am learning to be okay with the uncertainty. You know, whichever one feels the best, the one that really identifies you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
I'm learning to be okay with the uncertainty. And then the other is something like, just like the siren, everything is impermanent. Because you said that the siren represented impermanence to you. So just like the siren, everything is impermanent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other. Well, then what you said about what you had been journaling about, I thought was really beautiful. Regardless of uncertainty, moving, that you're moving in the direction and how to show up and how you're going to feel doing it. Moving towards things I'm authentic about, open to my bliss. So it could be something like, I'm learning to be okay with the uncertainty. Just like the siren, everything is impermanent. I am open to my bliss.
I really like that.
And these are all your words. This is all about you. Okay. So did you get what you needed today?
And some. Thank you so much, Anne-Marie, and for the rest of the group for allowing me to take some time. So I really appreciate that.
Sure. And I do have one more question. So in your mind's eye, to close your eyes for just a moment, if you would, in your mind's eye, imagine going on LinkedIn and reading different profiles. How do you feel?
Probably still the same, but I'm okay with that now. I'm okay with it. I can laugh at it a little bit.
Okay, good. Humor is a big one. And I loved what you said about it's all dissolving and it's all the separate pieces, those three separate pieces are becoming one. Neutrality, groundedness. So you've got some, you know, you're on the tip. You're gonna tip over pretty quickly. So I encourage you to play with those three mantras. Yeah. And then use LinkedIn as your, you know, to tell you what you're, you know, how far you need to go. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Good work. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. So if everybody come back on the call. And I want to first just acknowledge Charisse. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I totally, that's what you shared is so important to all of us. Yeah. 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 So just look at your colleagues for just a moment and notice that. Because everybody on this call, you know, it's like we all have hearts and we have hearts that have been broken and we have hearts that are mended. We have hearts that are growing, you know, also, but you know, there's so much love. It's in the world, and we can just direct it. Yeah. So, it's wonderful seeing each of you. That's kind of in a, because sort of in a love mode today. So, what did you all notice? We've got 3 minutes before we need to end the call, and then I hop over to a meditation group. What did you notice about the call, Robin?
I just love when the universe brings in those special cues like the sirens and you went right with it, Charisse. That was really beautiful.
Yeah. Charisse was a real, I mean, she was the model client. She didn't say what about the siren, it's just a siren. Or ball, really, you want to know it? What? You know, you were wonderful. You rolled with it. And typically that's how our clients are, because they're ready to shift. That's why they're hiring us. Yeah. Anybody else? Judah, did you have your hand up? I can't remember.
I'm not sure if I did, but I did want to just share. I really just liked how you didn't make any assumptions about her comments or about her part of the word she used, you know. What do you mean by, you know, what does dissolve mean? Or, you know, you were very, very neutral about it. I just really appreciate that.
Good. Thank you. Thanks. Anybody else? Tracy, we have not heard from you. Is that all material in back of you?
Yes.
Are you a seamstress?
Quilter.
You're a what?
A quilter. We have terrible winds and I almost have no voice today.
I understand. Where do you live?
Oklahoma.
Well, know that you're getting winds from us too. Get your Buddhist prayer flags out so all those prayers just keep sailing around the world.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad you're here. So do you have anything that you'd like to pop in? Because we haven't heard from you.
Not that I can think of. I'm just kind of barely there today.
I understand. Okay. Well, I'm glad you made it. Glad you made it. Yeah.
Yeah. I really appreciated the agenda too. And how, you know, you worked with it. It was really wonderful because that's a toughie for me. I mean, for anybody, but the uncertainty, you know, and also I think that also your awareness to really know where you wanted to be. You know, that you okay with the uncertainty, you know, you were not jumping on, you know, something really bigger than that, you know. So I really appreciate the smoothness of the coaching process, you know, which is, wonderful. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Well, thanks everybody for being here. And again, Therese, thank you for being here and letting me coach you. I can stay for just a few minutes if you have any questions about the school, about any of the classes, about why I think you should be a credentialed coach. I'm totally biased. Also, remember, I'm looking for a place for the next few months because it looks like Santa Fe is going to just keep being surrounded by fires and I need to kind of move out and be at a place where I can do a lot of writing and continue working with the school. So if anybody knows of, you know, like a cabin near water in the woods where it's safe, I'm your girl. So thank you. Glad you're here. And I'll see you next week, or I'm sorry, next month. I don't know what the first, let me just check real quick. First Monday in June, oh my gosh, June is going to be the 6th of June. So we'll meet again the 6th of June. It'll probably be continuing about transitions and transforming ourselves and, you know, but bottom line is if you are a coach, get out there and start coaching and don't please tell yourself that you have to be a certain level of coaching. Just start coaching, just start practicing and accumulating your coaching client hours because that's how you become credentialed. You need at least 100 hours for your ACC, 500 for your PCC, I think 2,500 for your MCC. So coach a lot. The world needs you big time. Okay. All right. Thanks. Another deep bow. Later. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
So Anne Marie, would there be another time that works best for you when you can talk about the coaching school? I know you have another call and it's 7 o'clock my time. So right. Would there be like a better time, like maybe the next call or?
I could actually talk to you right now. Let me just let them know that I'm going to be late. They're going to continue without me, but it's just, it's a group of 8 women. And they knew that I was going to be late because they know it's the first Monday. It's when I'm late. Okay, we're good. So, hi.
Hi. Yeah, so I'm curious.